Lost Horizon by James Hilton. Geoffrey Matthews reads the 8th of 10 episodes.
Extraordinary, Chang said when he heard that Conway had seen the High Lama again. It has never happened before, since the Lamasery was re-established. Never has a High Lama desired a second meeting until the end of a 5 years probation. Extraordinary.
To Conway, of course, it was no more extraordinary than anything else. And after he had seen the High Lama on a third and a fourth occasion, he began to feel it wasn't very extraordinary at all. As the days and weeks passed, he felt contentment, almost like a physical ache. Shangri-La had woven its spell, and Conway had fallen under it. The gleaming mountains, the green valley, the lotus pool, all combined to produce a perfect setting, and he was happy. Then, at intervals, he stepped into the other life to encounter Mallinson's impatience, Barnard's heartiness, and Miss Brinkler's robust intention. He was amused when Barnard once said,
"Ah, you know, Conway, I'm not sure that this wouldn't be a nice little place to settle down in. I thought at first I'd miss the newspapers and the movies, but I guess one can get used to anything."
Conway learned afterwards that Chang had taken Barnard down to enjoy what the valley could provide in the way of a convivial evening.
"Of course, it's none of my business," said Mallinson when he heard, "but you know, Barnard, you'll want to keep yourself pretty fit for the journey. The porters are due in a fortnight's time, and from what I gather, the return trip won't be exactly a joyride."
"Well, I never figured it would," said Barnard. "As for keeping fit, I reckon I'm fitter than I have been for years. Anyway, the speakeasies down in the valley don't let a fella go too far. And you can't blame a man for what he fancies.
You can send him to jail, though, when he fancies other people's property," said Mallinson.
"Ah, sure. If you can catch him. And that leads me to something I may as well tell you folks right away, now that we're on the subject. I've decided to give those porters a miss. I guess they come here pretty regular. I'll wait for the next trip. Or maybe the one after that."
"Do you mean that you're not coming with us?" said Mallinson.
"In other words, you're just afraid to face the music. Well, nobody can prevent you from stopping here all your life if you feel so inclined. It's not what everybody would choose to do, but ideas differ."
Miss Brinklow suddenly put down her book and said,
"As a matter of fact, I think that I shall stay too. You see, I've been thinking over the way things happened to bring us all here, and there's only one conclusion that I can come to. I was sent here for a purpose, and I shall stay."
"Do you mean that you're hoping to start a mission here?"
said Mallinson.
"Not only hoping, Mr. Mallinson, but fully intending. I know just how to deal with these people. Don't forget that I've had more than 20 years' experience of working in the Far East. Oh, I shall get my own way. Never fear."
"Why, it's just like I said," said Barnard. "This establishment caters for all tastes."
"Yes, possibly if you happen to like prison," said Mallinson.
Well, after their discussion, Mallinson took Conway aside.
"That man Barnard still gets on my nerves. I'm not sorry we shan't have him with us when we go back. Conway, have you solved any of the mysteries of this place yet? That Chinese girl, Lo Tsen, for example, I can't make out why she's here and whether she likes being here. Yes, if only I spoke her language, as you do."
"I shouldn't worry about Lo Tsen, if I were you," said Conway.
"She's happy enough."
Sometime later, Conway spoke to Chang. "You know, Chang, I'm rather worried about Mallinson. I'm afraid he'll take things very badly when he finds out. He's counting the days to the arrival of the porters, and you'll find it hard to stop him from joining them."
"Bah, my dear Mr. Conway, we should never attempt to do so.
he will merely discover that the porters are reluctantly unable to take anybody back with them.
I'm not so sure that that will deter him. He is quite likely to try and escape on his own.
Escape, Mr. Conway? Is that really the word? After all, the pass is open to anyone at any time. We have no jailers except those that nature herself has provided.
Well, you must admit that she's done her job pretty well. But the question of Mallinson, like so much else, was in the mundane world that was gradually being pushed out of his mind by the rich, pervasive world of Shangri-La. He didn't think he'd ever been so happy. He loved the serene world of Shangri-La, the mannered, leisurely atmosphere. Occasionally, though, the spell was broken for him. There was the time when Barnard came up to him confidentially. Conway, I'm telling you this because you're different from Madison. He's got his knife in him, as you probably gathered. Now, you and me, we're men of the world, and we take things as we find them, huh? Well, what's all this leading up to?
Gold, boy. Just that, tons of it, literally, in the valley. I was a mining engineer in my young days, and I haven't forgotten what a reef looks like. And that fella Chang, you see, he's a real decent guy. He showed me all over the workings. And it may interest you to know that I've got the full permission of the authorities to prospect in the valley as much as I like. Now, what do you think of that? They seem quite glad to have the services of an expert, especially when I said I could probably give them tips on how to increase the output.
Oh. I can see that you're going to be altogether at home here, said Conway. Well, I must say I found a job. Well, that's something. Conway was glad that Barnard had found something that yielded much immediate comfort. And so was the High Lama. Conway began to see the High Lama more and more frequently. He often went to see him in the late evening and stayed for many hours. The High Lama never failed to ask him about the progress and welfare of his three companions, and once he inquired particularly as to the kind of careers that their arrival at Shangri-La had so inevitably interrupted. Well, Mallinson might have done quite well in a consular service, said Conway. He's energetic and has ambitions. As for the other two, well, it happens to suit both of them to stay here for a while, at any rate. He noticed a flicker of light at the curtained window. There had been mutterings of thunder as he crossed the courtyards on his way to the now familiar room. But here, no sound could be heard, and the heavy tapestries subdued the lightning into mere sparks of pallor.
"The mountain sends us storms at this time of the year," said the High Lama. "But we were discussing your young friend, Mr. Mallinson, to whom neither gold nor religion can offer solace as it does to the others. What of him?"
"Yes," said Conway. "He is going to be the problem."
"I am afraid, my son, that he is going to be your problem."
"Why? Why mine particularly?"
"Because, my son, I am going to die."
The High Lama's statement was so unexpected that it left Conway speechless. After a few moments, the old man said,
"You are surprised? And surely, my friend, we are all mortal, even at Shangri-La. I don't know how much time I may have left to me. And all I announce is the simple truth that already I can see the end. I want to do only one thing more. Can you imagine what that is?"
Conway remained silent.
"It concerns you, my son."
"You do me a great honor."
"I have it in mind to do much more than that. My son, I place in your hands the heritage and destiny of Shangri-La."
His words seemed to echo again and again in Conway's mind. Then slowly they faded, and all he could hear was his own heartbeat, pounding like a gong.
I have waited for you, my son, for a long time. I have sat in this room and seen the faces of newcomers. I have looked into their eyes and heard their voices, and always in the hope that some day I might find you. My colleagues have grown old and wise, but you, who are still young in years, are as wise already. My friend, it is not an arduous task that I bequeath, for our order knows only silken bonds. To be gentle and patient, to care for the riches of the mind, to preside in wisdom and secrecy while the storm rages outside. It will all be pleasant and simple for you, and you will doubtless find great happiness.
A vivid lightning flash paled the shadows. This storm, said Conway, this storm you talk of.
It will be such a one, my son, as the world has not seen before. It will rage till every flower is trampled, and all human things are levelled in a vast chaos. Such was my vision when Napoleon was still a name unknown, and I see it now more clearly with each hour. So you say that I am mistaken.
No, I think you may be right. And you think that all this will come in my time?
I believe that you will live through the storm, my son, and after, through the long age of desolation, you may still live. And beyond that, my vision weakens. But I see, at a great distance, a new world stirring in the ruins, seeking its lost and legendary treasures. And they will all be here, my son, hidden behind the mountains, here in Shangri-La, preserved as by a miracle for a new renaissance.
The High Lama stopped speaking, and Conway saw the face before him full of a remote and overpowering beauty. Then the glow faded, and there was nothing left but a mask, dark-shadowed,
drained of life.
It was quite motionless, and the eyes were closed. Conway watched for a while, and presently it came to him. The High Lama was dead. He was quite alone in the room now. The mantle had fallen upon him.
That was episode 8 of Lost Horizon by James Hilton. It was read by Jeffrey Matthews.